Heavy Metal Television, around the world, 24 hours a day, forever free.
Your classic metal show right here on Heavy Metal Television, and joining us today to talk a little Enough's Enough, a little Beatles, a lot of stuff, I guess, is the one, the only, the legend himself, Mr. Chip's Enough. Chip, how are you, sir?
It's nice to see you doing very well during these unprecedented times, my friend.
Same here, man. I'm glad to see you're still out and doing this thing, man, with this pandemic the last 2 years, man. It's put you guys in a lot of jeopardy, man. It's, you know, forced unemployment, not good, right?
It's also helped put us on the map, too. Probably one of the only bands out there that's have toured in 2021.
Yeah, that's true, man. No, man, it's definitely been a good thing. The pandemic hasn't been a good thing, but it's been a good time for you, man. There's obviously a lot of things going on, and we'll talk about the one that's going on right now, the Hard Rock Night, the new Enough's Enough release, which is a tribute to the Beatles. And, you know, right off the bat, first thing, what took so long, dude? This is like the most obvious record for 30 years for Enough's Enough.
I couldn't answer that. We've been playing Beatles songs throughout our career, not as a whole record, you know, simple songs here and there throughout, you know, the early 90s and through 2000. We've slipped a song or two in the set every once in a while, just paying homage to our favorite band in the world. But it just so happens that it seemed like a real nice time to do a record. I got a phone call from my agency, Artists Wide, saying this big promoter wants to meet me.
Okay.
They're putting together this project with Paul Gilbert and Gilby Clark from Guns N' Roses. I think they were trying to get Mike Portnoy from Dream Theater, my cousin.
Okay.
And they wanted me to sing on these songs and go out for a couple of months and play not these songs, but Beatles songs. Okay. And they wanted to take an approach of, you know, like a rock band. And I said, that sounds like a great idea. I went to the meeting over at the Rainbow in Los Angeles, had a wonderful time, came up with a game plan of how we would move forward with it, and nothing happened at all.
Okay.
And so we, 6 months later, as we were during this whole shutdown, I said, well, instead of being lazy and confusing motion with progress, perhaps we go out there and try to make some records. And that's exactly what I did until we found a tour to help subsidize what was happening with the band. The good thing about, if you want to call it good, the good thing about the shutdown was a lot of bands, not just Enough's Enough, but everyone was able to go back in the studio and start recording more music. So when things do open up, we'd have a plethora of material. That's a pretty simple game plan for most. But we still had to get together and congregate. So there was some challenges that were facing all of us as musicians, to be able to go out and get together just as a band and crew and be able to navigate these waters. But I think we were able to do that. One reason is I have my own recording studio here in Blue Island, Illinois.
Right.
And my guitar player, Tony Fennell, has his own place out in Massachusetts. And Tori, he has his own little place in Scituate. And Dan Hill has his place in Chicago. We all have studios.
Okay.
That's how we all do movie soundtracks, TV shows, commercials. We stay busy when we're not playing. So we went right in the studio, and I started recording just a couple of songs just to see how it felt.
Right.
And the first one, we went to the Shay Fish record, and we did a John Lennon cover, of course, the Cold right. Turkey track.
Sure.
And it sounded fantastic. Everybody was really excited about it. And I remember playing that song live, so it was a good template for me. We didn't do that a lot in our set in the early days, but we did it a few times. And it's a real kind of a blues-based track.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I picked it, because we're a Chicago band and you have Muddy Waters out here and Paul Butterfield, Buddy Guy, Howlin' Wolf. It only made sense. The Beatles always showed their influence that they wore them on their sleeves from the early days. They love the blues. They always have. And they're very influenced by that stuff. So that was the first track. Then we started recording more, Chris, and we found ourselves in a real nice position. We played it for our constituents, i.e. the record label.
Right.
And they were blown away. And we have quite an extensive deal with Frontiers Records. It's not just a one-off deal like a lot of the bands, and then you move on. They wanted to keep it going for quite a while. So we just started recording as many songs that we thought would fit.
Okay.
On a 10-song record, and this is what we come up with. You know, went through the 1967 and above, nothing below 67 on the record.
Okay.
I think we came up with some pretty good ideas. I went to the White Album, which is one of my favorite records when the Beatles were poor experimentalists.
Sure.
And we picked up Back in the USSR, a lot of fun, real good rock track. And then we retracted Dear Prudence, which I thought was absolutely fantastic. That was one we did in the early days as well. You know, we did these Beatles songs 25 years ago, a few of these songs. The fans didn't really want to hear them. Most of the fans thought it was Enough's Enough songs. It sounds like Enough's Enough.
Right.
And then B, we had new thing, Fly Michelle, Baby Loves You, you know, all the singles that were doing well on MTV. So the fans they're focusing their attention on a rock band that has some success with their own material.
Sure.
But these Beatles, we realize now, you know, all these years later, the Beatles songs, the sum is bigger than the parts. The songs carry a lot more weight now. It just so happens that we're putting the record out at the same time as Let It Be is being released.
Right.
None of this stuff was planned out, bro. It's a blessing from the good Lord, really is.
Sure.
And now here we are. We recorded the 16 songs, knocked it down to the best 10, went down to Chicago and a downtown studio called Stonecutters with a guy named Chris Steinmetz, who's responsible for the Kiss Revenge record. This guy's been doing it for a long time. He's did a bunch of stuff with Ozzy as well. He's probably produced and mixed and recorded and mastered 1,000 records. And he was blown away by what we brought him. And it was real minimal overdubs. It was the band playing live in the studio in Chicago, Dan, Benjamin Hill, myself, and Tony Fennell, ex-singer of Ultravox. Yeah. And then we sent the stuff over to Tori out in Scituate. And he's like a little baby George Harrison guy. Plays great slide guitar. He's got a wonderful voice. He lent his parts to it. And then we just went in the studio and mixed it up in a couple of weeks. And voila, here we go. It's a beautiful souffle.
Sure.
A great, I don't want to call it a tribute record, but it's our own rendition of how we see the Beatles through my rose-colored glasses. I'm looking forward to seeing what the fans have to say. The record's already sold out right now, bro. It's unbelievable.
It's great.
I didn't anticipate this at all. as I said before, these aren't our songs, but we sort of turned them into what we sound like. And I'm pretty happy moving forward and what's going to happen with this, not only with this record, but going out maybe and touring on it as well.
Sure. Well, and that's one of the coolest things about this thing, Chip, is that it's not straight cookie cutter covers like so many bands do. You know, you really added your own flavor to several of these songs. I mean, they still have the essence of what the Beatles were doing, but it definitely has that feel like you bring to the table live. You know, it's refreshing to hear that because especially with the Beatles, you know, as well as I do, that is like hero worship territory that you don't mess with a whole lot. But you guys kind of put your own spin on it, which makes a lot of it really fun and interesting and new.
I think one of the things that I'm really surprised is we may be the first rock band in the history of the music business to record a full-length Beatle record.
Yeah.
In the studio, you know, a studio record. I know Cheap Trick put out a record years ago, a live record. I think Sgt. Pepper's they put out. Mm-hmm. And they also did a residency, and we hail them beyond belief. It's just a fan. Those are our big brothers right there in that band.
Sure.
But I'm not so sure any band, and other bands like Stone Temple Pilots and Styx and Motley Crue have recorded Beatles songs on their records, but I don't think anybody's ever done a proper studio record up until this point. So these are waters that we've never swam in before. I think it's going to offer a Brinks truck of opportunities. And I don't want to say too much, but I know there'll be a lot of gigs out there. We've already done a few shows as the Beatles Rock Show.
Nice.
Where we played this album in its entirety. And the fans were crying out in the crowd. They were hailing it beyond belief. These songs are just so there's just fantastic stuff that who would ever think any band would have material that 50 years later people would be hailing it beyond belief. But the songs are just strong beyond comprehension.
Sure.
The performances, you know, with Lennon and McCartney, George Harrison, Ringo Starr, just has left an indelible mark that's super powerful.
Sure. Now for you, Chip, I you know, I've known you for what, 35 years or whatever it is at this point, for forever. I know your love for this band, and your love for this band is not these 10 songs. It is A to Z, the catalog. I mean, that's you. So for you, how hard was it to narrow down to even just the 16 songs that you recorded, let alone the 10 that you put out? I have to imagine that was extremely hard for you.
A lot of material to sift through. And you're talking about Beatles. I think they have 300 songs they've released. And most of them are on Spotify right now, which is nice. You can find that catalog and enjoy it. It wasn't very difficult, to be honest with you. The hardest part was to find the right ones. 67 through. We didn't go back in the early Beatles catalog. We wanted to make a hard rock record, hence the title, Hard Rock Night, like a playoff of Hard Day's Night. I went through the songs and I just turned the guys on to them and said, "What do you think here, gentlemen?" And every single song tripped their trigger. They were totally interested in doing it. So we went to the studio and bashed it out live on 2-inch tape. It's an analog record. It's old-fashioned. It's not pro-tooled to death. I wasn't doing tons of overdubs where I'm singing a song and singing verses over and over. I wanted to find a performance that was strong enough to where it gave me confidence to be able to and go and do these songs live without any problems. And I think that's we found that on these songs right here. We didn't change keys. The arrangements are pretty close to the vest. It's just a little heavier, though. The instrumentation, we're playing through Marshalls and Mesa Boogie amplifiers. The drums are big. A bass guitar is powerful. I think all together, when you hear it, you go, it's a real rock record.
Right.
It's the beat. Maybe I'm mistaken, but it's my vision is how the Beatles would be if they were playing today through the equipment that we have right now. Because back in the old days, Beatles, you couldn't even hear them at the shows. They were playing through tinky little amplifiers. That was, you know, 40,000 people that were there screaming, mostly trim. And it was out of control. And the people were listening with their eyes instead of their ears. But imagine if the Beatles were together right now, playing like the Foo Fighters or Cheap Trick, you know, powerful beyond belief.
Oh yeah,
with a huge big PA and the technology that we have today. So it's nice to play these songs still. We John and Paul, George and Ringo, they've left an indelible mark with their catalog of material, and to get the endorsement from McCartney and Ringo to be able to do these songs and get the licensing, that was I think it was my biggest challenge right there.
Okay.
And we're going to be fine. They'll make all the money on it. We're cool with that.
Right.
We want an audience to, we're going to turn people on to that never heard the Beatles too as well. I just got done doing the Beatles show on Sirius XM.
Okay.
Those cats were blown away. They loved it. I think we did Cold Turkey back in the USSR, and the first single is Jet,
right,
from Paul Wings. McCartney and Wings. And every fan that called in and the journalists that were there were absolutely smitten by enough strut on this record, where we didn't overproduce it, didn't go crazy, just laid these songs down. The songs are powerful in itself. At the end of the day, that's all that really matters. I want to go out and play it live, of course, but I'd love to see a new audience grab onto these songs, and maybe it shows a different side of Enough Snuff as well that nobody's seen.
Sure, definitely, man. And you know, you mentioned Jet. That by far my favorite song on the release. It just it just rocks. And that's like the coolest thing, because it rocked when Wings did it in 77 or whatever year that was that they did it.
Yeah.
And it rocks even more now with you guys doing it. Was it important to you to, because you also did Cold Turkey on this one, was it important to you to reach past just the Beatles and do kind of the sub elements of the Beatles, doing a Lennon solo and doing a McCartney song?
Yeah, I think all that whole catalog is underneath one umbrella. Even though John and Paul were both on their own, those songs, they're just bigger than the band, than the artist itself. And when you hear them, you go, "Ah, it's Beatles anyway." So I thought it was important to show both sides of those artists and what they did individually. I think it fits under the Beatles moniker, I got to be honest with you.
Sure.
And I think the diehard Beatles fans would love that too, showing both sides. We also did Ringo too, by doing a little help from my friends.
Yeah,
we probably should have done the George one too, but maybe we'll save that for the future. Sure. Although George is guitar playing, finer than sing guitar playing, by the way, all the beautiful slide stuff and background vocals is all, you know, something that we embraced.
Right.
But yeah, good point you made right there. And I think that within time, maybe it'll be a follow-up to this one.
Sure. And the one thing about George too is his songs, most of his songs were not as rock-oriented as the ones that you chose, at least for this release. You know, I mean, what are you going to do? My Sweet Lord, that doesn't fit with the rest of the album.
No, but George does have a lot of stuff, if you listen to his earlier material, where, you know, you turn up the guitars to 10, and it's a heavy, hard rock song. He had that sense of balance in him. He showed a lot of different sides. He had his own timbre in the Beatles. That's why a lot of his songs made the records in the later days. Perhaps it'll be something that a path that will cross in the future. But for the most part, I think the 10 that you're going to get on this Hard Rock Night record is a great representation of what we love as Beatles fans and what we can cover, where it sounds like the Beatles still, yet it's Beatles songs.
Definitely.
We're talking about one of the greatest bands in the world, you know, sold a half a billion records and still going strong to this day. And those songs, boy, they say a lot, because when they wrote them, when John and Paul and George and Ringo got together and wrote those songs, there was a lot of stuff that was happening in the world, and they captured it all and put it on tape.
Sure.
And that's a secret. That's a secret for any artist.
Sure. You know, what's the most amazing, Chip, about the Beatles is they did it without a blueprint. You know, I mean, I guess you could sort of say Elvis was the blueprint that they grew from. But, you know, everybody today has a blueprint. If you're a metal band, you can look at 400 other metal bands, or a rock band. You can see 1,000 other rock bands that have done it. The Beatles just didn't have that. They had Elvis, maybe Chuck Berry, but they just didn't have a mass successful blueprint to work from. They created it in so many ways. And I even as big as the Beatles are today, and tell me if you think I'm right or wrong, I don't think they get enough credit for what they did at a time when there was nobody that had kind of built the foundation for them.
Well, they did have George Martin, and I think that was he was the fifth member.
Sure.
That's a big proponent right there. And George came from an illustrious history of working with all kinds of different bands. And I think he brought that to the party with the Beatles. Obviously, those guys had their own timbre as singers and as players. But I was hanging out with the guitar player from Foreigner, Mick Jones, years ago. We did a show, a big festival gig with them. 100,000 people showed up, and it was Foreigner, The Fix, Billy Squire, and Alice Cooper. And one thing led to another, and I got a chance to hang out with Mick at the end of the show, and we happened to be staying at the same hotel. And I said, "Man, you know, I love the stuff you do with Foreigner all those years. You know, in the early days," I go, "what tripped your trigger on when it came to writing songs?" He says, "I'll tell you, Chip, I spent 6 months in the studio with the Beatles."
Oh.
"And I learned how to write songs watching Paul and George and, uh-huh. and Lennon and Ringo."
Right.
And I said, "So you watched the band in this, you were playing, you were sitting in the studio while they're recording?" He goes, "Oh, yeah." He goes, "For 6 months I did that." And I said, "Well, what was their approach?" He says, "Oh, they went in the studio and Ringo counted the song off and they played." And then, of course, they go back and do, you know, minimal overdubs. Paul would get on the piano, or maybe John would as well. John would get in there and sing a vocal. He liked to double his vocals up. And they do, George would play some slide guitar. Because, but for the most part, the template was laid down with drums and bass and a rhythm guitar. And, I'll never forget that. And he listen, those Foreigner songs are great. So those thoughts came with me and stayed with me. And so when we made this record, I took the same approach.
Very good, man. Well, Chip, obviously, man, as you've seen, and it's, I think it started right here with me. Donnie been making noise more than news. And I'm not going to ask you to comment on the things he's saying, because he's saying what he's saying, you know, and that's whatever. And I know you well enough to know you're not going to publicly sling mud anyway. My question to you, though, is there any way at all in 2021, 2022, that him returning to Enough's Enough would be beneficial to Enough's Enough? Would it be better as business? Would it be better as it gives the fans more of what they want? Or are you content with where you are today and where you're taking it today?
Well, let me ask you this. Would Peter Gabriel want to come back into Genesis? They got back together and going on tour, and they sold 50 million more records than we did. You think he's coming back to do that?
I just
don't think so. You think Dennis DeYoung's going to go back to Styx right now? Sebastian going back to Skid Row? I just don't think that they're going to. I think those bands had a lot to say. They sold many more records than we did.
Sure.
They gave themselves many, many years of hard work and dealing with all the rigmarole that goes on with being in a rock band. I'm not so sure as any musician out there that's as loyal as I am that I had all these years, mm-hmm. what I've brought to the party and kept the name out there. We just lost the great Herbie Herbert.
Right.
Our manager who managed Journey and all the bands. And, you know, Herbie, and when I did the Kiss Cruise with Doc McGee, they all said the same thing. Chip, you should have been doing this 10 years ago. It wasn't a job that I really wanted, Chris. But I wanted Enough's Enough to continue to flourish.
Sure.
Nobody would be talking about us right now if I wasn't out there working every single day, putting records out, touring around the country. I think that going back to the way it used to be would be a shortcut to thinking. Listen to Donnie, what he had to say about moving forward. There's plenty of fodder out there, subject matter, him talking about how he doesn't want to do it anymore. He's had health issues and,
right.
He's went through some tough times, and he's disillusioned by the business. Now, 8 years later, you're going to say, well, I want to get back in the forefront after slinging mud when you mm-hmm. live in a glass hovel. I really believe that, and I planned the solo record, by the way, and I brought the whole catalog to Cleopatra through Brian Pereira and helped fund him so he had his finances were taken care of during a time when everybody was hemorrhaging.
Sure.
And more than anything, I've kept a name out there all these years. Why he's been retired. I think I've been real more than loyal. And this is my manager's telling me this. I've been more than loyal. I've been a true friend and great person. Last but not least, playing on the solo record and playing bass on it and doing the video for him. I think I've done everything I can. And I believe that this is not a job anymore. After he retired, I understand. He says, look, I'm not interested in jumping in a van like you guys do it and touring around the country.
Right.
Why would I just go for a money grab? The only place I could do that would be in Japan, because that was our biggest market out there. Mm-hmm. And I think that I'm grateful for the 29 years that we had touring together and stuff. That's enough. I don't owe anybody else anything else, just like Skid Row and Styx and all those bands don't owe anybody anything.
Sure. They've
given everything they got for their amount of time that they put into their project. And I feel that it'd be I don't want to confuse motion with progress.
Right.
We're still moving forward. We have a record deal. The catalog of it, if there's a movie, a soundtrack, a TV show, a commercial, he'll be compensated for his songwriting prowess. I think that's fantastic right there. To get in a Oscar Minor Wiener wagon and go on tour again would be a shortcut to thinking. I'm grateful for it. And I think the fans are grateful for it. When you say the fans want us to get together, how many fans is that, Chris? Really, honest to God. We've sold over 1 million records, and that was in the 90s and the 2000s. It's nowadays you sell 4,000 units on an album deal, and that's like selling 40,000 records. Right. That's what the record companies say. I mean, is it really that many people that want to see it? I don't think they've seen it. They've seen it when we had the look of the world. We were young and youthful and full of piss and vinegar. I think they want to see that right now. But they want to see, what people want to see is a strong, solid rock band. I wouldn't have continued to move on if the shows weren't great and strong. We did the Ace Frehley tour. Everyone hailed it, packed every single night. I'm fronting the band. Then we went over and did the Live Nation tour with Jack Russell's Great White. Winner, did a slam dunk home run. And then this year, 2 months, sold out, Faster Pussycat, Enough's Enough, playing 500 to 1,000 seat venues. The fans have spoken. The agents have spoken. The band sounds great right now, and it's really easy to navigate. And there's no one to worry about any health issues or any dispositions that are going to be questionable later on, certain bedside manners that you might question. I think if everybody would look at the glass half full and not half empty, the world would be a much better place.
Sure.
I'm grateful for where I'm at. Tory Stoffregen, great guitar player. Been with me for almost 13 years. Daniel Benjamin Hill, solid as a rock drummer. Tony Fennell from Ultravox, former singer that took Midyear's place, playing guitar and singing with Enough's Enough. Never would have thought that in my career.
Sure.
I think we got a rock solid band, and every rock star, musician, and the fans that come out to see the shows have given us the endorsement and the thumbs up, and I'm going to move forward that way.
Right. And you know, you mentioned it, and I'll reiterate it. Neely and I just talked about this last week. We were talking about your band, and we were saying, since Donnie left, you are getting these legitimate tours, you know, the Sirius XM tour. You were on tour with Kiefer. You were on tour with Ace. You've been, you know, it seems like the people that are booking, the bookers, are taking Enough's Enough a lot more seriously than maybe in the 90s because of, you know, a lot of the other baggage that was there. It seems like now you're getting more legitimate play versus that late 90s, early 2000s day.
And we're certainly grateful for that, Chris. Listen, when I did that Kiss cruise in 2019 or 2018, and I'm on stage playing, and I look out, and it's all the guys from Kiss are there, and Doc McGee's there.
Sure.
And Evan Stanley, Paul Stanley's kid, comes up. He did Baby Loves You with us. And at the end of the show, and it's jam-packed, by the way, okay? You couldn't squeeze a mouse in that venue. And at the end of the show, Doc comes over with Paul to give their love to the band. And when Doc McGee says, "The Chip, you should have been doing this 10 years ago," that can give you a lot of confidence right there.
Yeah.
And then right after that, getting the Ace Frehley tour, which was, you know, fantastic, going from Kiss to Ace Frehley. Can't go wrong there. Having the Kiss endorsement is certainly something I embrace.
Sure.
But not only that, I see the records that we're selling. You know, we're moving units. And as I said earlier, you know, you sell 4,000 or 5,000 records, that's like selling 40,000 or 50,000 units.
Right.
And you go out and play these shows, and these people have been waiting their whole lives, the moms and dads bringing their sons and daughters to the gigs. It's being passed down through generations. Why not embrace that? If you're going to do a solo career, embrace that and do the same thing.
Yeah.
Well, no one's holding anybody back. No one's being disrespectful. If anything, I'm keeping the legacy alive. And I'm grateful for that, to have that opportunity, because we all are going to be around here forever. In the future, you're going to see all the rock bands gone. Everybody's going to go, where did Queen go? Where did Guns N' Roses go? What happened? Well, we got too old and we can't do it anymore. So if you got a chance to go out there and play shows, grab onto it right now. Obviously, we're going through a tough time with these shutdowns around our country, but it's going to open up for everybody. And the good Lord works in mysterious ways. You put the hard work in, the money will follow.
Exactly, man. Well, the money should be followed to Frontiers Records, so that when you buy your new copy of Enough's Enough, A Hard Rock Night, it is out November the 12th, I believe. It officially comes out here in the States. And Chip, where should we tell people to go to get the record or find tour dates or just keep up with you and Enough's Enough?
That's pretty simple. Enoughsenough.com will stir you in the right, whatever direction you're looking to go. You can get us on Spotify, Instagram, Twitter, all the social media sites. As far as the record goes, iTunes and Rhapsody and Deezer and Apple Tunes. You'll find the records over there for sure. Amazon, okay. There'll be a landing page for everything so people can go get a record that way. But maybe you want to come out and see one of the live shows. Go to enoughsnuff.com, see who we're playing. There's a major tour that we're announcing in 2022. Well, we'll be sharing it with you very soon. And, you know, I wish everybody out there well. Chris, while I got a chance, I want to shout out to our first responders, our nurses, our doctors, our military, our police, our firemen, all the truck drivers out there that are helping navigate this country as we move forward. Nothing but love I have over here. I wish everybody nothing but health and a great holiday season. I appreciate everybody getting involved and following the band throughout the years. It means a lot to me. God bless everyone out there.
Very good, man. Well, one more time, the new release is called A Hard Rock Night. It is Enough's Enough. And Chip, always great to check in with you, my friend. So good luck, and I'm sure we'll do this again.
Appreciate you. Looking forward to seeing everybody at one of these shows in the future. God bless everyone.
Perfect.
Thanks for checking out this episode of The Classic Metal Show. Get all of our episodes uncensored at www.theclassicmetalshow.com. Join us weekly from 9 p.m. till 3 a.m. Eastern at www.cmsradio.net. Participate in the live chat room at www.chatandkill.com. Once again, thank you for checking out The Classic Metal Show with Neely and Chris. Hail and kill. Fuck you, pal. And hand job!